Blog Talk Radio.
On tonight's Paranormal Radio.
Also known as Onyx. This is Onyx Nights Paranormal Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. We've got a great show lineup tonight. We've got my good friend Bill Brock of the show Monsters Underground that was on Destination America. He's going to be joining us. We're going to be doing a little talking about drones and the use of drones in Sasquatch research. But not only Sasquatch research, but other forms of paranormal research I can see it being used for, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving holiday and pulled through it safe and sound. I had a wonderful holiday myself. I went out last Saturday night, did some researching, heard some things. At one point, I thought I heard a little girl giggling, and I was right next to a graveyard, so I haven't had a chance to review all the audio from that yet. The wind kind of picked up and kind of ruined the whole night, so I don't know if that was truly what I heard, or if it might have been a tree creaking or something like that. I'll know more when I go back and review the audio files. Anyway, I want to tell you guys, right now I've got a fundraiser going on GoFundMe.com. It's to try to help garner some money to get some paranormal equipment, night vision camera, IR light, things of that nature. I'll post it on the Facebook page. You can also find us on Twitter now. Lana and I, mostly Lana, hooked up a Twitter account. And that's OKP at Onyx K Paranormal on Twitter. You can follow us there as well. You can also, as many of you know, catch us on Facebook. It's Onyx Nights Paranormal. Look us up. Send a request. Join the group. You'll love it. A lot of good people there. No drama. Absolutely no drama. Just completely not tolerated. But with all that being said, and I'll cover all this again before the night's over, but with all that being said, I'm going to go ahead and get my buddy Bill on and get the show rolling. Bill, you there?
Hey, man.
Hey,
yeah,
buddy.
I'm
thanks.
Here. How you doing, guys?
It's going. I don't know how, but it's going. thanks for joining, man. You know.
Yeah, no problem.
Yesterday, you know, you and I were talking, and I mean, we talk pretty often, and you know, you sent me a link to join Google Plus. I had no idea. I mean, I asked you straight up. I said, "What the hell is Google Plus?" I had no idea what Google Plus was, so I joined up and I go through all the steps and do all the sign up and everything, and guys listening, next thing I know, I was on video with Bill. And I'm like, oh man, a little heads up. At least I had clothes on and was dressed.
Right. No, man, Google Plus is really awesome. It's a great, innovative way to kind of do a video chat. And the really cool thing about Google Plus is you can actually record those video chats. You know, so you can actually put that right out online and have a video rather than a radio show. And I think that's really cool. You know, I think it's really awesome to have a video to look at it instead of just audio. But hey, you know, I'm on TV.
Well,
I expect to be on video.
Well, the thing is, that's why I want to garner the funds to get the better equipment, because I want to start producing my own show. And I'm not talking about just the weekly thing. I'm talking about us out there in the field, putting on our YouTube channel and things of that nature. Now, as far as interviewing, people on here, as I told, and I'll be honest, I'll tell anybody, you know, the reason I haven't done the video broadcast yet is because there's a lot of times I'll get people call in and they'll say some of the craziest stuff, and my facial reactions would probably get me in a lot of trouble.
You actually said something about that the other day, and I almost commented back to you about, you know, how I feel about that. None of what you hear from these people should be something that registers as being crazy. You know, like, I talk to a lot of people that have seen some things that I initially have a reaction to, you know, because it just seems so odd. But through the last few years of researching hard what these people are telling me, I'm starting to find that a lot of these people aren't as crazy as what you think they might be.
Well, no. I mean, don't misunderstand. I don't think people are crazy. I don't think people who report sightings and Sasquatch and whatever are crazy. It's not those topics that make me kind of roll my. It's just other things that they might be talking about as far as life in general. You know,
right,
because I definitely don't want anyone to feel, well, I'm not going to call in his show and give a Bigfoot report because he's going to think I'm crazy. That's not at all the case, because, I mean, hell, Bill, you know, I go out there all the time, you know, if anybody, you know, I'm not one to say anyone's crazy because I'm out there doing it all the time. No, it's not. It's
I love the stories that people tell me. Like, I really get a lot of stories that people would probably think was crazy, man, but these people that tell me these stories are really believing what they see, and I believe what they see. So, you know, I love those stories. I love the ones that are just like, holy crap, you know, are you serious? You really saw whatever this is, you know? I just love those stories, and it's the best. It's really why I do this, I think, that, you know, to learn more about what's out there and find out what all these people are seeing, because I believe them, you know? I believe these people because they're just, there's too many people, too many reports, too many consistent reports to say there's not something paranormal or Sasquatch or the Olatia or whatever the heck it may be. You know, there's just too much evidence out there that proves there is something to a lot of these reports.
I mean, like I said, I don't make the face reactions and roll my eyes at the Sasquatch reports. It's when you have guests who sit here and they completely change the subject and start preaching about their life views and you know, how they live their life and how they think others should live their life. That's when I start getting, you know, like, man, come on, just talk about what we're here to talk about.
Personally,
you know,
I ain't got time for any of that, man. I am here to do a specific thing, and that's talk about Bigfooting, man. And, you know, I'd like to kick that off right now about talking, you know, and start talking about what I'm doing. You know, AJ and
I
are doing something that is, you know, we're on the cutting edge, dude. We're breaking new ground. We're using a drone to go up and map large areas and make thermal maps and IR maps, and we're going to overlay those maps in order to try to find changes in the environment from one mapping to the next, so we can try to find where things have changed, you know, and then go in and investigate those areas and hopefully find what made those changes. You know what I mean? So like a lot of people are into tree breaks, let's say, okay? So like I can take the drone and fly over an area, look specifically for tree breaks. I can map all those tree breaks and see if they actually have a consistent direction and see if they actually point towards something. A lot of people say that Sasquatch will break off a tree, point it towards, let's say, a water source. Well, I can take that drone, measure out all those tree breaks, and see physically in real time, do these trees actually point at that water source, or is this just a coincidence or snow load or ice or whatever? You know, I think what AJ and I are doing with this drone is going to really break new ground in Bigfooting, man. I really do.
Well, you know, a lot of people, and I've seen the tree breaks and the curved over trees, and you know, for the most part, I've seen ones where it's just that one, you know, in an area, and I've seen some where it's a whole bunch all in the same spot, and you have the advantage with the drone of verifying whether it's just one or whether it does look like a wind pattern might have came through.
Right, right. And, you know, I don't know, I've had reports here locally, actually not very far from where I live at. I had a guy I know say that his brother had a Sasquatch come up to a window in his house, look right into the window, and this guy freaked out, right? He grabbed his gun. His wife freaked out as well. They both ran outside. He saw this thing running into the woods. The guy gave chase into the woods with his gun, ready to kill the thing. And he said he saw it breaking off trees at about 7 feet high. So it would run, grab the top of a tree to make a turn, and the tree would break off. So, you know, that's what interests me. You know, if I can find something that's kind of out of place, you know, so if I see, you know, a whole bunch of trees broken in one direction, and then I see this one pointed in an odd direction, I'll go investigate that, you know, and that's something having a drone really allows you to do. It allows you to get up and get that bird's eye view and really hone in on those anomalies that need to be looked at a little closer. It's really a great tool.
How many times have you been able to take it up?
Oh, I do every day. I've got, well, it's an Iris Plus drone, and Iris Plus is the company that basically puts it out there. 3DR is the company that designed it. 3DR sells this thing. It's, like I said, the Iris Plus. It's an amazing company. They sent it out to me. I actually crashed the thing the first day, and they sent me another one the next day. I mean, it was on my doorstep the next day.
Man, you can't ask amazing for better service.
No, you really can't. And so once I got this thing going, man, I had four batteries because two of them were from the old drone and two of them were for the new drone. So I've been able to use those batteries. I just sent it back. But I've been able to use those batteries. So that gave me like 60 minutes of – well, no, 20, 40, 60, 80 minutes of flight time. And so I could pretty much charge a battery while I was flying, you know, and I pretty much just flew all day. And that's what AJ and I do right now. We are getting experience flying the thing. We're getting experience using it and tracking. You know, we're really working this thing pretty hard. And, dude, I'm so happy and excited about this Rage Cams thing. There's this company called Rage Cams. They're awesome. They make lenses for GoPros and other action cameras, and it enables you to have IR. And he's actually going to send me an illuminator as well, but I don't think I'm going to need that illuminator. I think I can fly with just the IR GoPro and be able to see just fine, because we have like complete snow cover right now, so like everything in the woods is white. So whenever this thing is on the drone and I'm flying around with the drone, I should be able to see pretty good because everything's white. So hopefully I can not use that illuminator at first. But, you know, it's pretty exciting, man, because I'm going to have a first-person view in IR of this drone, and I'm going to have full control of the drone. So if I see something, I can go down and investigate it. It's really an awesome tool.
And you have thermal on it as well, right?
Yeah, we're working on that right now. Right now what I've got going is I have just IR on it. I have a friend of mine who has a super small lightweight thermal camera that I'm trying to make sure that I can put it on the drone. And then I'm going to try to see if, you know, I can kind of borrow that. But I'm still not sure if it'll actually work with what I have right now. Right now I can definitely run the IR with an illuminator, but I'm not sure on the FLIR yet, but I will make it happen, but it's just getting the technology to all work together. You know, it's definitely
man. I've told you, you suck, man. Some of us are still trying to get night vision alone, and here you are breaking out the drone. Holy crap, I sound like Dr. Johnson with the Soho Project.
Right? You know, Dr. Johnson is a good dude. You know, I really don't have any problem with that guy. He really is opposed to drones. You know, to each his own. You know, we're all out here looking for Bigfoot. We all have what should be the same goal in mind. And hopefully we can all work together at some point, you know. Like, there's always been this weird thing between habituators and people in the science community. I hope that someday they can kind of come together and share information. You know, the habituator folks, they have to have some really important things going on because there's a lot of people that believe in what they're doing. So, you know, I would love to be able to go and visit one of these habituation sites and see for myself what's going on. I think that'd be all great.
I don't put much faith in the habituation sites. You know, people claiming to be going out there and singing Kumbaya with Sasquatch. And, you know, I mean, I know that they do frequent certain areas, but just as far as some people take it, you know, I don't put much faith into that. Sorry, you know, I don't mean to step on anybody's toes or piss anybody off, but you know, I was friends with Dr. Johnson, and I was planning on getting him on the show, and he messaged me prior telling me, giving me this long list of questions that I could ask, and that was it, nothing more, nothing less. And I'm like, whoa, what the hell, you know, what's up with this, you know? My guests don't tell me, you know, what I ask and how to run the show. So, you know, I went looking on his Facebook, and I, you know, did a couple of searches on him, and I think the guy's full of crap, to be honest with you. You know, every time he goes out, oh, you know, there was a stick on the ground in the forest. It's Sasquatch. Are you kidding? You know?
Well, I can say this, man. You know, I don't know that man. I can't say whether he's delusional or not. I would have to say that he probably has some kind of compelling evidence that I would like to look at. But
I don't know him either, but I also believe if it looks like shit and smells like shit, chances are it's shit.
Right. But, you know, I do have friends that are good friends of mine that I really consider friends that believe that they have habituated a Sasquatch. Now, I personally went and investigated one of these habituation sites, and I can say for 100% certainty that we had something go on. Now, what that was, Brian, I don't know, man. But what I can tell you is, we saw something that looked like a grade eight. It came down on all fours, running like a grade eight. It stood up on its rear, and we looked right at it, man. You know, and we got some photos. We got some photos of it.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I've got a caller. I think I know who it is. I'm going to go ahead and get them all. And we're going to continue this because, we're going to continue this. Hello, who's this?
Lina.
Hey, this is Lina. This is my research partner.
How's it going there, lady?
It's going.
Nice, nice. I think that Brian said that same exact thing. You guys are like twins.
I'll tell you what, you know, if there was a female version of myself, yeah, I think Lana would come real close. I mean, she goes out there and she's just no fear, you know, all about doing what we're there to do.
Yeah, right on. You know, like I was saying, man, my friend there, you know, we went out and checked it out. We definitely ran into something quite large, like huge, and it definitely ran at us. And we saw it on thermal, and we saw it on IR. So, you know, whether habituation sites are truly producing evidence of Sasquatch or not, I don't know. But I know that this particular site that has definitely been a habituation site definitely produced some weird stuff. I can say that for sure, Brian.
Well, you know, and don't misunderstand, I don't mean habituation. I know, and Lana can tell you, there's places back here that I've gone to, that we go to, that I've had activity for years. I wouldn't go as far as saying that it's a habituation site. You know, I mean, I don't go out there and swap stories and share secrets with the Sasquatch and, you know, things of that nature.
But, Brian, you are habituating them. I think that, you know, we need to look at habituation sites.
Well, here's the thing. Am I habituating them, or are they habituating me?
Well, it's probably together. It's the same, you know. So,
because
you're habituating
them. I'm not trying
them
to bring them. Yeah, I'm not trying to bring them into my world. I'm trying to be a part of theirs. I'm trying to understand them. Yeah.
Right.
So there's.
And you know,
yeah.
I'm with you now, and you know, I just want you to know that I don't personally think that a habituation scenario is best for me to continue my research, but I do know that you know, Les Stroud and I have talked about this, and he definitely uses apples to help habituate Sasquatch.
Yeah,
and he really believes
on here.
Yeah, he really believes that's something that's, you know, that can be done, and he's told me that he's seen it. You know, so I believe the guy, but truly, I don't think that. I would like to see everyone try everything, whether it's habituation, whether it's a drone, whether it's like, I don't care what it is, a DNA dart gun. I don't care what it is.
I
want everybody to use every possible resource.
When Lena and I go out, I mean, we try different tactics every time we go. I mean, the first night that Lena actually joined me, she heard some stuff that, you know, that she knew instantly it wasn't any of the natural known wildlife
animals that were around.
What'd you hear?
Yeah.
Lena, what'd you hear?
Well, it was more of like a howling in the woods, but it wasn't like a coyote, because you, being from the south around here, you kind of know what to listen for, I guess, and to know what that sounds like and know that that is not what you're hearing is kind of wild. And, you know, it's not wolves or anything like that, so.
Oh, it's much deeper than a coyote.
Yeah, it's much deeper than a howl. It's more like a growl howl, if that makes sense.
Huh. Yeah, totally. Let me see if I can play a track for you. I don't know if it'll play over this or not. If it will.
And back,
I'll
in,
be able to
back,
let you. Hopefully, I
what
can.
What I'm wanting to do, Bill, I'm wanting. Back in March, I had someone with me named Melissa, and her and I had a roar happen from very close. Unfortunately, we were on our way to a certain location, and I mean, I was just kind of starting out, didn't have my audio going, you know, for the walkthrough, so completely missed this roar, and I swore since then that, I mean, any time I'm out there, even if I'm just sitting at the camp, I have my audio going ever since this incident, and that's what I want to get. I want to get that again, but get it recorded, get it captured.
Right. Yeah, definitely. AJ and I wish I could find it. It's in my videos on Facebook, and I can't seem to access it for whatever reason. But AJ and I definitely recorded something that was just about what you're explaining to me. I mean, it was like a roar, but it was actually a eastern timber wolf.
Well, the closest thing, Melissa went looking online. The closest thing that she could find to it was a gorilla. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, she listened. There's one YouTube. I'll send it to you. It's one YouTube page where it's nothing but different animal, you know, roars and whatnot. And that gorilla was the closest thing, even though what we heard was much, much louder and more intense.
All right, so I want you to listen to this. I don't know if it's a roar or what. Hopefully you can hear it, but you're going to hear what's like a, oh, I don't know, it's kind of a, it's a weird scream. But yeah, check this out. So that was a little bit of cussing, but it was an intense situation. We were actually being attacked by dogs at that point. We had a pack of dogs, wild dogs, that were attacking us. And while they were attacking us, we got this scream. And so, you know, we were literally, I'm not even exaggerating, dude, we were fighting dogs when this happened. And so we didn't know what it was. But come to find out, that was an Eastern timber wolf. And you can hear how a lot of people could probably confuse that with like a primate-ish scream. I mean, it sounds
right.
Nasty.
But here's the thing, and I'm sure Lana can attest to this. What we heard was much deeper than even that. It was more like, oh, I mean, it was pretty low. What you played has a real high pitch compared to what we have heard back there.
Where do you guys live at again?
North Central Mississippi.
Do you have bear?
Nope.
Not really.
Not
bears
that, not
that.
That we're not rare. That, not that we're aware of.
It would be rare.
And I've heard bear many times, and yeah, this is a prolonged howl.
You know, maybe it was Sasquatch. That's why we're doing this. You know, that's why we go out.
Well, I mean, the same area. I've had tree shakes. I've had wood knocks, things of that nature. And that one particular night, you know, we went walking about a mile and a half, Lena, back through nothing but a pine forest. So even our footfall was real quiet. So that night in particular, I was really expecting for us to surprise something.
Stacy Brown and I actually ran into a Sasquatch one time. We actually saw it on thermal, and it didn't scream, yell. It didn't make a noise, dude. It was like, it was dead quiet. Like, it made no noise, but it hauled ass. It ran really fast. And we all saw it. There was five of us. That's all the thing.
The night of the roar, Melissa and I, the person who I was with at that time, we were walking on a pine needle kind of grass path, and it wasn't until we got to very crunchy leafy path and our feet started making noise that that's when this thing roared. That's why I was hoping that night, and I really think that we kind of snuck around behind it and surprised it. And that's why I was hoping that night when me and Lena went out, I was hoping for the same reaction, because we weren't really making a lot of footfall and foot noise, because, you know, the pine needles was like a carpet back there.
Okay.
And in truth, we were actually back there looking for a cemetery, because we were gonna, you know, we also do the ghost thing.
Oh yeah.
So we weren't even really back there looking for Sasquatch. We were looking for a cemetery. But the thing that's good about where I live and where Elena and I live is there's cemeteries just hidden all over this wildlife refuge. So it's kind of a, you know, we can do both things at the same time.
Nice. That's cool.
And, I mean, one particular, see, what Lane and I want to do is we want to get our own show going. You know, we want to do a weekly show, maybe get, I mean, try to get in with these networks and get our own show going, because it's like, you know, look, you know, Michael Hawke did it with Man, Woman, Wild and Lost Survivors, where it was just him and his wife. Now, Lane and I aren't married. I mean, we fight like we're married. Right. We pick at each other like, but we're not married. But, I mean, there's no other show like that. Where it's just a man and a woman out there in the field looking for this stuff. I mean, you know, you have Ghost Stalkers with John and Chad screams like a woman, but I mean, you know.
Right?
I just think it has a lot of potential.
It's me to sleep.
So, Lana, do you think you could hang with us?
Most definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, have you really had any kind of real camping experience? Because I think these creatures probably live in the 1% of the earth where 99% of the humans don't go to. Are you prepared to go to that 1% of the earth?
Definitely.
Nice. Well, that's pretty much a dedication right there, guy. I think you're good to go. I think you got yourself a research partner. She's ready. Would you ever go into any caves or anything looking for stuff?
Actually, there are a couple of caves around where I'm from, Alabama, that I've been through before. And really interesting things that you wouldn't see anywhere else in the world. Just amazing things. There's actually a cave in Alabama where when you look up at night, there's glowworms or something that are on the ceiling of this cave, and it looks like the night sky.
Oh, wow, some kind of
bioluminescent.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's cool.
I got disconnected.
It's called Dismal Cavern or something like that.
Wow, that's awesome. That's really cool.
There, but it's beautiful. And it's huge.
I'd like to see that. Yeah, I'd love to see that. We were in a cave called the Grand Canyon Caverns. It was insane. Oh, my goodness. It was huge. They had a fallout area there and then also an emergency food stash for, like, thousands of people. It's insane. Like, they had so much food in there. You could literally live forever with all the food there. It was crazy.
I think I've seen that. Hasn't that been on television before?
It might have. It probably has.
Do they have it, like, blocked off?
Yeah, totally, man. They have it, like, where, you know, you're not really supposed to go there.
I've seen shows about that, actually. I know what you're talking about.
Right on.
It is pretty
crazy.
Man,
that was awesome.
They have, like, ammunition and everything in there.
Dude, they have a hotel room in there. Like, in the middle of the cavern, there's a hotel room.
Yeah.
You got to go chill out in the hotel room. It was badass. It was great.
They actually have a place in...
Hey, can you hear me?
Russellville, yes. They actually have a place... Actually, I think it's not Russellville. It's right there before you get to Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And they have it scooped out. They've got a cave in there that they've built a bar into. And they have a stage and everything where they do the little, you know, bands and stuff like that. And they have the bar blocked off, and it's all pretty much in glass and wood. It's really
nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's actually got more extension to those caverns and stuff like that. But they have, they call it the Rattlesnake Saloon.
Oh, sweet. I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
You actually have cabins to stay in and horse rides.
And my cousin said that they actually have cabins that you could stay in and horse rides and stuff. So I know when we went, I got pretty drunk. And we got a truck ride back to the top because you kind of have to walk down in there.
Right on. Well, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So Peter Pan Live is on. Are you guys excited about that? Are you DVRing it or anything?
Peter Pan Live?
Breaking news on Facebook, man. I just saw it. It's pretty important stuff.
I have to say a childhood favorite, but I doubt I would want to see it live now.
No,
I don't have kids. I don't have a reason to watch that crap anymore.
Right.
When I go,
where you at, Brian?
What
happened to Brian? Did you quit?
Enough, so.
Did Brian quit? Did he just get aggravated and leave?
I don't know. I guess so. I guess he's gone. I don't know. I haven't heard of him in a while.
So what got you into Bigfooting?
Really, Brian's the bigger Bigfoot with, I like the ghost side of things.
So have you been doing that for a while?
Yes. Actually, I was doing it before any of it was popular, so...
It's popular? I didn't know that.
Yeah, right? It's not like vampires now.
Right. Do you watch True Blood?
Yes, I was a big True Blood fan before they took it off the air.
Oh, man, I didn't even know they took it off the air. That's how much TV I watch. I just really watch myself on TV. That's really all I do.
I'm horrible with TV. I have to, like, DVR everything.
Yeah, me too. No
and
good
then
with
it takes forever
so,
to watch all the
crap
that I've DVR'd.
Right on. So you're into ghost hunting. Well, I'm obviously into the cryptid hunting. I don't know much about ghost hunting. Have you ever had any real experiences that you could share, like something that could have happened that was something really compelling?
Hey, guys.
I definitely experienced some weird... Yeah, we can hear you now.
my internet dropped.
It's okay. We just kept going.
So.
Yeah. Well, I know Lena, so I knew I didn't have nothing to worry about.
Oh, I started interviewing her.
Once she gets rolling, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a talker if there's nothing else. Right. Can't have that dry here. But, I've had some pretty crazy experiences. Nothing that I would pinpoint as a spiritual experience, though. And I'm kind of skeptical about it, so I guess I'm more digging into, is it real or is it not?
Right. Isn't that really the question that we all ask about everything? Is it real?
That's the biggest question. Yeah. And, of course, the what happens after you die question has to be the biggest one, right?
It doesn't look too exciting. I've seen it happen a couple of times. You just kind of go to sleep and nothing really happens, dude. It's really kind of boring.
Well, I mean, what
oh
happens?
Oh, my God.
You don't spontaneous combustion or anything. They just kind of leave.
Thanks for shooting down the hopes and dreams of millions of people there, Bill.
Right, yeah. They don't do anything, dude. They just kind of go to sleep, and that's really about it. That's probably
why
I don't get into
it. What happens to your spirit? What happens to your soul? Do you believe there's a soul?
I believe in KFC and fried chicken. And I pretty much go by that logic.
That's exactly what I asked. how did you know?
If I can't pick it up and touch it in some way, I probably don't believe in it. So, you know... I don't know what I believe as far as all that goes, but I know for a fact that I've experienced some weird stuff in my life and stuff that made me think that there could be an afterlife, but, you know, I'm not sold.
Definitely.
I'm ready to go to look.
Definitely experienced some things that made me believe there should or could be an afterlife. And I believe there's got to be something that happens after you die, right? You don't just die. It's not just
right.
Over.
So what happens to Sasquatch, dude? What happens to Sasquatch after they after they die?
They probably just reincarnate into other Sasquatch.
Justin Smeha makes up a story about him.
Oh, Justin. I like him, too. He's another one of my real actual friends. But, you know, maybe – do you think there's, like, Bigfoot ghosts, you know? Maybe we should be looking for Bigfoot ghosts.
I don't know.
I've had an interesting possible Bigfoot experience before. My parents are both truck drivers. Perhaps seen one.
Really?
My parents are both truck drivers, and when I was a child, I went with them a lot. I've been to 48 states, 4 provinces of Canada, and the whole upper half of Mexico, plus a few islands on vacation. But
how much of that do you remember?
A lot of it, actually. That was more of my happy time in my childhood, so I remember a lot of that versus the more miserable times.
Hey, Bill, unlike us, it wasn't that long ago for her.
Yeah. I might be 26, but I'm an old soul.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, she rags me so much, you have no idea.
Yeah. Well,
it's probably good
man.
For you.
But it's all good. See, that's the thing. We pick on each other and joke around a lot, but, man, you would not believe it's like a light switch going off whenever we get out there in the field to these locations. It's completely day and night. It's total game on, serious mode. And, I couldn't ask for anyone, you know.
How do you research? When you go into an area, how do you determine what area to start your research, and then how do you span out from that area and continue to search? Like, what's your technique?
Well, that's the thing. Right now, we're just testing out different areas. There's an area where I had a lot of activity at, which I've been there many times since. And haven't really had anything since a certain event, and now there's a lot of hunters I see going in there. So what I'm trying to do now is we're trying to get to these areas that are hunt-free areas, where we know that people aren't allowed to hunt back on the wildlife refuge. Because, you know, I think if I was a Sasquatch, that's where I would be. Yeah.
The thicker the woods, the better. Somewhere where there's not a whole lot of activity with humans.
All right, I'm going to hit you guys with some logic about all this, all right? I'm going to hit you with some science and logic, so try to follow me here. So what I want you to start thinking about when you go out Bigfooting, man, is I want you to get on an aerial map. I want you to look at the general area of where you're going to go, all right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
You should be able to find what we call choke points, okay? So on the map, I'd like for you to look for places where, like, two lakes would come together, and you have just a small little area where critters can pass through those two lakes without essentially swimming. You know what I mean? So you're going to look for different types of...
It's riddled.
You're going to look for different types of terrain, all right? So look for different types of terrain that show choke points, forces animals to go into a small area. Once you find those choke points, what I want you to do is create grid patterns. And this is something that biologists do constantly, man. This is something that they taught us in college, how to go in and basically grid out areas. Create a grid pattern, like literally get yourself a string that's, we use 10 meters, you know. So we do 10-meter squares, and we search those 10 squares for anything. And we take and just expand the search from there.
Lana has only been with me now for, about a month? I mean, we've known each other for years, but as far as, you know, doing this, I've been kind of doing it on my own. Lana's only been with me for a month. We've been kind of doing cemeteries and a little bit of Sasquatch here and there. The goal is to eventually get out there during the day and check out some areas and get a feel for it and determine. But yeah, as far as what you're talking about with the overhead view, I've done it many times. I've gotten a topography map from Sean Osteen, who is a land surveyor. And it's just a matter of, I mean, we're just kicking things off. So for the most part, it's been kind of catching Lena up to speed on things and how things, you know, how we're doing things and how things are going to go down.
Yeah, you know, another thing that I had a lot of success with is looking at hunting times. You know, like, you ever seen those maps where it, like, not maps, I'm sorry, but like a calendar where it'll tell you the best times to go hunting and stuff?
Yeah.
We've actually used those, Stacy Brown and I, and we've had really good success. So I think that's something you might want to look at too, because you'll see like primary feeding times, and usually it's, you know, late at night, let's say between 2 and 3. We seem to have success when we go by that. And if Sasquatch is what I think it is, it probably is very much in tune with the stars. You know, every ancient civilization known to man was extremely in tune with the stars. So if
Brad Pitt, and Angelina Jolie and stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm really in tune with her.
Inside Edition. I understand. What's beneficial. What's beneficial, and I've talked to you. I've told you many times about this, Bill. That's why I've been trying to get you down here. I live right in the wildlife refuge, and I go out there. There's still times even now that I go out there, and Lana can't make it, and I'm out there by myself. I go out there pretty often, at least two, maybe three times a week. And, you know, I'm real familiar with all the hunting areas and where they're hunting and where they're not. Because I would think, as a Sasquatch, that, you know, if there's human activity and gunshots going off, they're going to go deeper to where they know, hey, it's safe. And this is not them. When I say they know, I'm not talking about they're sitting there looking at, you know, the hunter's log or anything. I'm talking about just from years and years and years of being out there.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of where the habituation comes in. Are these Sasquatches habituated to human activity to the point where they don't really care? I don't know, man.
Well,
you know, like,
here's the thing.
So I know that
Elena can tell you, too, because she lives, you know, about, what, 5 miles from me, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Here's the thing. I know during the summertime, there are deer everywhere. I mean, it's dangerous, you know. But when hunting season starts up, they're scarce. You hardly ever see any of them. Then when hunting season ends, it's right back, just a whole bunch. So, you know, deer have a sense of knowing when all this is taking place, and it's not hard to figure out. It's the same time every year, every fall to, you know, midwinter. So,
that probably has a lot to do with all the people in the woods. You know, there's a ton of people.
Well, it could also. But even going that route, mm-hmm. Assuming Sasquatch is much more intelligent than a deer is, they would know too.
Oh yeah, I would think so.
So therefore, you know, just the same as the deer, they're going to go to these pockets and these areas that are. Have less human activity and are a little bit more secluded.
I have this thing. It's called ADHD, and my brain goes crazy all the time, and I just can't help it. So
yeah,
right now it's going nuts, dude.
I think we're all ADHD here.
Oh, I'm wicked bad. But there are these two guys in Bigfooting that don't get enough airplay, if you want to call it that. Dallas and Wayne. I don't know if you guys ever heard about these two guys, but they were on a movie called Not Your Typical Bigfoot Movie. Dallas and Wayne are from Southern Ohio, and they're amazing researchers. Dallas is more on the side of, like, mind speak and, you know, like Dr. Johnson's side, okay? Wayne, he's more on, like, the scientific side. Like, he's awesome, dude. Together, these two really work well. And out of all the people I've ever went Bigfooting with, man, and I've been Bigfooting and out in the woods with some of the top name period out there, I have. Those two impressed me more than anybody else. We had more action with those two. And this includes Stacy Brown. And I saw what I think could be a Sasquatch with Stacy Brown. With Dallas and Wayne, we had stuff thrown at us. We had, like, I don't know, crazy noises going on. Like, we had some stuff that we couldn't explain. It was a trip.
Well, see, that's the thing. All summer long, I was getting activity just like that. And then now in the fall, it's different. It's much more remote. You know, I don't like to go out there and do all the calls and the wood knocks and things. I just like to go out there. And just walk and be natural and just listen to what – let them come to us, if you will.
Yeah, that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. I mean, I don't think chasing Bigfoot down in the woods is something feasible at all.
Well, I mean, realistically, if you go chasing after every sound you hear in the woods, chances are you're going to run up on something that – Sasquatch aside, you're going to run up on something that you really don't want to run up on.
Yeah, here in Maine, we just have a lot of black bears, and they're not mean. But I don't mind running up on anything here. But where you live down there, you guys have more critters you have to worry about than we do. We don't have anything poisonous.
In theory, the only thing that we have to worry about here is coyotes. Where we live, we're in our area.
Coyotes and panthers.
Well, you know, some people say yeah, there's panthers. Some people say no, there's not.
There's freaking panthers.
Well, there's evidently panthers.
There's definitely panthers.
Lana says there's panthers or fucking there's friggin' panthers, dude.
Well, until I see one, then that's different.
Well, I've seen one myself with my own eyes, and there are panthers. And it's
around
cute.
Here, Lena, around
yes,
here.
There was one in Hackleburg, Alabama. I saw it when I was in eighth grade.
That's
and,
Alabama.
Yeah,
how many
so
miles is that from here?
Panther. Definitely.
I mean,
like,
there's panther
takes,
in Florida, but that doesn't mean right here.
It chased my freaking friend's dog down in a field and, like, ate it. It was a panther. We have panthers.
That's Alabama. That's not. Yeah, okay.
Alabama right. And Mississippi are practically the same freaking state.
Look,
nobody in Mississippi can drive.
I live in Mississippi, and I've seen more than one panther.
That's what my cousin says. Yeah, my cousin's joining me a little bit.
She's
on speakerphone from drive.
Oh, you know, yeah. Hey, Morgan.
Hey.
I've got a friend who's a head forestry ranger. I've mentioned this before. I've asked him straight up. I said, "Hey, man, in this particular national forest, this wildlife refuge, are there any bear? Are there any panther? Are there any wild hogs?" His answer was no to all of those. And that's not to say that there couldn't be, but what he told me was, "I drive these roads all the time at night. I've never seen a single one." Now, the other night, whenever I went Saturday night out to the camp, Lena was going to try to come out there and meet up with me. She wasn't able to. But on my way back there, I came around the corner, and Lane, I can show you exactly where this corner is. I came around the corner, and there in the woods was something huge. Its eyes were shining. I saw it. It turned. It was standing up. It turned, and it just hauled ass the other direction.
Was that like your thoughts?
No. What?
Was it your size?
No, it was bigger. Lana, this thing was big. And it was, you know where the old graveyard is that we were supposed to go to that night with Jeremy?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was right there in that corner, right there in that intersection. And it scared
well,
the crap
what was
out
it?
Of me. I mean, I stopped. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. You know, I could sit here and say, oh, it was a Sasquatch, but I good night, baby. I love you. But I don't know for sure. All I know was this thing was standing up. It was big. His eyes were shining orange-red. And, I mean, shoulders. And it was like that. The minute my lights hit it, it was turned and it was gone. And, I stopped the car, and I'm sitting there shining spotlight out there, and no sign of it.
I bet if you had a drone, you could have caught it.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
Lana can tell
you
this
area. You need a Vespa, Brian. I can
see
you call out on a Vespa.
This area is huge. The area that we go to, it's massive, dude, and it's really thick, and it's gorgeous.
How long has it been since you had? How long has it been since you had your last action in that area?
Well, I've heard calls, but as far as like physical, like something being thrown at me or tree shaking or wood knocking, it was August.
It was
last August, and right I know when everything stopped. They had a bike rally, and there was a lot of bikers going back there all hours of the night. I could hear them from my house. And after that, it's like, you know.
Yeah. So I know somebody that's on a TV show, imagine that, that has access to a orangutan, right?
Right.
So I asked them if they would collect female orangutan urine while the orangutan was ovulating. So that's what I've got going. I've got some urine that's going to be sent to me of these orangutans. And so if you get into a situation where you're starting to get a lot of action, I'd like to maybe ship you some urine and see.
You're gonna send me some pee?
It's effective. I mean,
yeah,
that's
because
we're
talking about. Exactly.
Well, you know, we've talked on the show about and I've heard this for years that this works. And for those with a queasy stomach, stop listening now. But where you take a woman's feminine hygiene product after it's been used, nail it to a tree, and it'll attract bucks during the rut.
Oh, man, Stacey Brown's been doing that now for like 3 years. It doesn't seem to work very much. We tried all kinds of stuff like that.
So that's just a myth.
That seems like overkill.
Yeah, that doesn't really work. But I think that I think the female orangutan urine during their ovulation period is theoretically the best way to do it, because that's what these Sasquatch are going to be looking for, and that thing is probably about as close genetically as we can get.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as far as we know, humans are just as close.
Yeah, you know, my
Not
theory
really.
On Sasquatch is it's a Neanderthal-human hybrid, and nobody will really go with me on this. Everybody thinks I'm crazy, but, you know, it's okay. Until somebody gives me a body.
I kind of agree with you. I kind of agree with you, and I've told Lana many times before, that, and I've said it on here, I think that they were here long before we as humans were here. That's how far back I think they're – now, whether they were Sasquatch at that point in time or not, who knows? But I know that their lineage goes back much further than we do.
Well, I don't know if that's true. This is all I know about Sasquatch, man, and this is why I think that it is a possibility. Now, there's a lot of people that can say that they have factual evidence that would make what I'm about to say wrong, but there's a lot of people that say that what I'm about to say is right. So this is what we know. Every white bred human on this planet has some Neanderthal DNA.
Right.
We have seen up to 7% Neanderthal DNA in some white folks. So we know that we interbred with Neanderthals. We know that humans are the most destructive animal on the planet. We will kill anything that gets in our way and just destroy it. So I think, personally, what happened, to give you the Cliff Notes version, is we mated with the Neanderthals and essentially mated them out of existence to a point. I think that they probably got into a war with modern humans. They went north, modern humans went south, and I think that we're starting to... Well, you know, we made it with Neanderthals. You know, I think what Sasquatch is the Neanderthal with 10% human DNA. And you know, that's probably why we can't nail down the DNA results, because it is partially human.
Oh, I think some of my girlfriend's family has a higher percentage of Neanderthal, but that's just me.
Right.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, we see all these models in museums and so forth of Neanderthal. And the one thing I've always said is all we've ever found was bones. You know, as far as we know, they could have been fully covered with hair. And, you know, the guy who did the first Neanderthal model could have got it completely wrong.
Well,
and
we can actually look at the DNA now and know that they weren't completely covered with hair. We actually know their skin tone, and we're able to break down their DNA now to really get a good idea what a Neanderthal looked like. And it wasn't
right.
That much different than us. So, you know, what I think that has happened, man, is I think that we became ignorant, and we have thought that we were the only ones on this planet and we're not. You know, there has never been a time in history of the Earth where there was only one human on the planet. You know what I mean? There's always been a competitive other species.
You know, we as humans are very egotistical and very, very naive in thinking that we are the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, well, we're not. Yep. We've always been part of something larger, and people are starting to forget that.
Now, someday humans will be extinct. Eventually.
We can only hope.
Well, for the sake of
this
planet.
Right.
For me, that's part of the joy of going out there and doing what I do. You know, is, dude, I just, in my mind, they're the ones that got it right. You know, they're living at one with their environment, in some of the most beautiful terrain that I've ever seen, and it's just so relaxing and peaceful. I mean, whether I go out there and whether I have Sasquatch activity or not, whether I see one or not, I'm still having a lot of fun. I'm still enjoying it. You know.
Yeah.
It's so relaxing. I love it.
Yeah, it's what it's all about, dude, for sure. Having a good time and just getting outside.
You know, that one night, when the first night when Lana joined, I mean, it was cold as hell. We were freezing our ass off.
Definitely.
But
by the time we got back, dude.
It was still fun. And we never did find the cemetery we were looking for. And later I found out that, you know, we were almost to it. And it's just one of those things. But it was so cold that night.
How cold was it?
It was colder than a witch's tit.
That's pretty cold.
I couldn't feel my body once we got back from the walk, the 5 mile walk. That was actually 10 miles because we had to walk back.
Wow.
Hey, I told you you could have wore my big coat, but you know, you were hard ass.
I don't need your big coat.
But, you know...
I had my own big coat, and I still was freezing my ass off, so I don't think anything was going to help. Because by the time I got back, my feet were sweating, but I was frozen solid.
That's funny.
Bill, let's talk
a little bit. You guys should come up here. You know, for us, cold is like minus 30, you know, 30 below. That's cold.
Oh,
yeah,
It was, I think, what, 28, I believe it was that night.
Oh, geez, that's like summer. I mean, wear a coat.
I'm sure. In that area, anyway.
But it's a wet cold.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Bill, let's talk a little bit about, and I don't think I've ever talked about this on the show. How much do you think things like the cold, the heat, wind, we're getting some feedback. I guess it's from Lena. I guess she's driving with the window down.
Yes, I am. And actually, my phone's about to die, guys.
It's all right. It was good talking to you.
Say what?
All right.
I'm glad you called in.
It was nice talking to you guys.
All right, hon. Get in touch with me, and we'll try to line something up.
For sure.
All right. Good night. Be safe.
Good night. Y'all have a good night.
Yeah, you too. So, yeah, you were asking about how much I think that the weather affects Sasquatch.
Because the other night when I was out there, I was getting some sounds. They sound interesting. You know, I can't – here's the thing. I can't sit here and say, oh, that's a Sasquatch. I can't say that with 100% certainty because, you know, ultimately, if you don't see it happening, you know, you can't really put a stamp on it and say 100% Sasquatch. But there was some interesting sounds that night, and then the wind picked up. And, I mean, it picked up 15, maybe 20 miles an hour, you know, gust. And after that, it was hard to determine where sounds were coming from, what it was exactly. So it was pretty much a bust. You know, the night was pretty much a bust after that. But, you know, I often wonder, you know, when I'm out there, it's, you know, I'm walking, I'm like, man, I am freezing. I'm really cold. I wonder if Sasquatch is out walking around in this shit too. You know, but, you know, then you got reports of them in snow from, you know, much northern states and territory. Now, then I throw into the fact, okay, well, maybe the ones down here might be different from the ones, say, in the Pacific Northwest or even up there in Maine around you or Canada. Maybe they're more of a summertime Sasquatch, if you will.
Nah, man. These things are going to be masters of their environment, you know, like realistically. Like,
well, I know like us as humans, you know, down south, you know, we're like, oh, man, I'm not used to this cold. You know, they go up there to, like, if I was to go up there in Maine, I'd be like, holy shit, it's cold.
Right.
Whereas you guys, you know, you see what I'm saying? If it's like that for us, couldn't it be like that for Sasquatch too?
I don't think so. I think they would probably acclimate to the climate just like the deer, the moose, and the rest of the creatures. Like, I don't think they're going to really care too much, man, really.
Because they're out there in it more, and their whole existence is spent out there in it, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. They're going to acclimate to the environment a lot faster than we do. Because, you know, what you're talking about is going from Florida to Maine instantly. Well, they don't do that. They live in it, you know. So I think that these things are masters of their environments. Like I said, you know, these things are able to pretty much deal with anything because that's what they've done for thousands and thousands of years.
Well, I mean, there's some that say, you know, don't go out looking for them during the full moon, and there's some that say full moon's the best time. What, in your experience, what do you think is the worst times to be out looking for them where you, chances are you're not going to get any luck at all, as opposed to what do you think would be the best times?
I really don't know the worst times, because it all seems crappy because I haven't brought one back to the campfire yet, you know, like once I bring one back to the campfire, that it'll be officially a good time. but I guess realistically, man, I try to work off of the moon schedules and the hunting schedules, and I try to be active in the forest when I know other creatures are active.
Right.
I would assume that Sasquatch is going to be really keyed into the environment, including all the animals in the environment. So I would think whenever those animals are moving, Sasquatch is moving.
Well,
and if you have a dog or anything, dude, if you take a dog out after a snow up here, like they get wicked excited. You know, they're like happy,
right.
They're bouncing around. Well, all the other animals in the forest are doing that too. There's like almost like a weird snap in the air, if you want to call it that, you know, like this weird chill. And I think the animals dig that somehow, and they move around a lot. So I think if you pay attention to your own animals, you can actually get an idea of what the animals in the forest are doing, you know? And you want to be out there looking when those animals are active. If that makes any sense.
Oh yeah, totally. You know, I've spoken to people and they've said, okay, you know, when has been your best experience? And my best experience during the summertime was between the hours of 10:30 to about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Prior to that, not much going on. After that, you know, you might as well. 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock, you know, around in that time zone, you might as well just, you know, go to bed. Because
right,
it's almost...
but then again, the creatures aren't disappearing, you know, they're not multidimensional. They're still in the
woods. No, I'm not saying that.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, it's so hard, dude. Like, we don't exactly know what we're listening for. We don't know exactly what we're even looking for. You know, all we have right now is, like, go look for Prince. Well, man, there has to be more to it. There has to be more to gathering information than looking for Prince. I don't know, man. I just feel like there's more to it somehow. I don't know. It's weird.
There has to be. I mean, I agree with you 100%. For the most part, even now, you know, most of your reports and encounters, there's nothing more than what we've already known about from the 60s and 70s. There's nothing new, you know, as far as activity-wise. It's all basically rehashing the same things. And it makes you wonder why that is. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. We haven't really gotten that much new information.
Yep. That's right.
You know, people want to say that we've got DNA and stuff and that it's coming back human and unknown primate. But, you know, I don't know if those are corrupt, you know, and we haven't really gotten any concrete proof. You're right. The best footage I've seen is Stacey Brown's footage, you know, and people give him a hard time all the time saying it was fake. And he'll tell you, like, he doesn't think it was, he knows that it's not faked. You know, but he still can't tell you 100% that it was a Sasquatch. We don't know what it was. All the measurements end up saying that, you know, it was something really big. But he didn't go snag the thing and bring it back to the campfire, like I said. But, you know, and so we need something, dude.
This is the one called the brown footage, right?
Yeah, totally, man. Where it's running from, like, the left to the right. His dad filmed that while they were out in the swamp there, and or it wasn't a swamp, just a forest, I think. And his dad filmed that. And yeah, I mean, it's an outstanding piece of footage. But, you know, they can't tell you for sure that it was a Sasquatch. He's going to tell you that it was. He's going to be, yeah, that was a Bigfoot. Well, realistically, Stacey Brown can't tell you that it was a Bigfoot. But
right, because it's a FLIR silhouette.
Right. But all the information leads up to say that it was, but we didn't get any DNA. We didn't get any, like, concrete proof. And, man, we need that. We need something, dude. We have got to get some kind of DNA concrete proof that these creatures exist. Once we do that, man, I really want to go on a campaign to protect the things. I would like to see them become protected somehow.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and but we have to get real proof and prove that these freaking things exist before we could ever take that step. So I'm hoping somebody out there somewhere really, you know, takes a step up to the plate and hopefully donates money to somebody out there that's the right person, and it's not me, to square away Sasquatch research and get everything pointed in the right direction, you know, in a more scientific direction. I'd like to see a bigger sample pulled from the Sasquatch community and sent to a better lab and have tests done on more samples again. It's been done before. From what I heard, I can't confirm this 100%, but from what I've heard, that study was corrupt a little bit. It didn't work out the way that it did. So I'd like to see that happen again. Send him to Dr. Todd. I trust that dude. He doesn't have any other objectives other than the truth.
Mohawk Todd.
Yeah, man, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
I like
him. Yeah, he is. Yeah. I watched the brown footage as we were talking. And guys, I posted it over on our Facebook page. It's really interesting looking video. You know, just as Stacy says, I can't say with 100% certainty that it is, but you know, it leans towards that.
Yeah,
the movement,
man.
The body shape, the posture, even the way the back is hunched over. I mean, I'm having a difficult time. You know, the hands, the length of the arms.
Yeah, it's a really amazing piece of footage, man. I mean, it looks like what you would think a Sasquatch would look like, you know? But you still can't say that was a Bigfoot. We need DNA, man. Like, we really have got to look at Bigfooting from a scientific point of view, because that will eliminate a lot of the things that's questionable. You know, like, science will eliminate those strange anomalies that we can't prove one way or the other.
Well, you know, aside from going out there and shooting one and, you know, killing it, doing what we're doing is the best route to get as close to them as we need to.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, man. I really hope that somebody out there decides to help us with funding and allows us to get a bunch of samples tested for DNA. Man, that would be cool. There's a lot of people in the community that have good samples, you know, good hair, scat, other things that they really want to turn in. But, you know, they don't have the money or the resources to have them tested.
Well, scat has so much bacteria in it that it's hard to, discern any DNA or get any DNA from it.
Well, yes and no. When the poo gets pushed out, man, it pushes out a bunch of these cells in front there. And if you can capture those cells, they hold the DNA quite well. They definitely do. And it's all about education, dude. Like, a lot of people, they don't even know that. You know, like, I didn't know that until I was faced with having to get DNA off of poop. I didn't know that there's no DNA on the backside of poop. Like, you would think you could just, like, swab anything on there and you'd get DNA. You can't. The front of the poop is what holds the DNA, man. That's what has those cells in it that you want to capture. And so, you know, people aren't educated well enough in the Bigfooting world to be able to go out and get evidence without contaminating it. And I'm kind of hoping to change that too, you know. Like, AJ and I try to make videos occasionally just teaching people how to do stuff, you know, whether it's casting prints or, you know, whatever. Hopefully I can try to educate people and help just educate them, man, in the right way to collect DNA and the right way to go Bigfooting it and keep it on a scientific level.
Well, Bill, you know, having you on the show, a lot of people know you from Monsters Underground. So, I can't have the show without asking. What's the word on it?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's the God's honest truth, man. I wish I had something better to tell you, but they do not know at this time what they're doing with us. They don't know if they're going to keep us around for another season or put us on the shelf. You know, I really just don't know. And,
yeah, but you had good ratings, right?
Yeah, they weren't bad at all, man. We did really well. And we continued to grow. That's what I really was excited about. Each time our show would air, we would get more viewers. And I thought that was really cool. You know, that means people were watching it and they're enjoying it.
Oh, I mean, I promoted the shit out of it every time. You know, every time you guys post something, I would... Shit, I'm not saying that I'm the... You don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I'm the reason that you had all... No, not at all. I'm just saying that
Well, I
wanted to see the show. I wanted to see the show take off.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of friends, you know, promoting the crap out of it. You know, Sean Evidence, you know, he promoted the crap out of it on Bigfoot Evidence site, and that's a huge site. You know, so I owe a lot to all these guys in the Bigfoot world for promoting the heck out of me. You know, they definitely tried.
Well, you know, and I've said this many times before. I mean, you guys' show was pretty straightforward, and you know, it didn't have all the hokey pokey stuff. You know,
no, you know, it didn't. It's still TV. You know, at the end of the day, it's still TV. What I do on TV and what I do in Bigfooting, I think, are two very different very different things that I do. You know, Bigfooting for me is just a whole different level. I take it to a different level because it is something that means a lot to me. I want to prove that these creatures are real. I want my name out there that, you know, saying that Bill Brock is the guy who pulled in the DNA evidence that proved these creatures are real. You know, that's what I want to do. And that's kind of, I guess, where I'm a little different from when I'm on TV and when I'm Bigfooting. I take it pretty seriously.
Well, you know, I completely understand that because, you know, even Lana can tell you there's things that I know that I don't talk about on the show. But in person, it's much different. You know, I'll talk about certain things and certain experiences that have happened. And it's not to keep information from anyone. It's just, you know, there's just certain things that are a little bit more sacred to me, certain experiences.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, dude. I'm sure.
And, I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about because, you know, doing what you do, I'm sure it's the same for you. There's things that you just, you know, hey, that's for me, you know. That's not for the whole world.
Oh, man, I do that every day, you know, like everything I do. But, hey, dude, I got to hop off here, man. I got to, like, go and hang out with my girl and, you know, not be in trouble.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's 10:21 at my house. I go to bed at 9 o'clock.
Oh, you wuss. I got to get wuss, a lot of... You know? Come on, man. Come
I gotta
on,
get my
you're beauty. Young. Yeah. Wah, wah.
I'm 72 years old.
Please, really. Bitch.
42. I'm old. I'm wicked old. All right, brother. Well, I got to rock and roll out of here, man. And I really appreciate, you know, you let me come on your radio show. And
yeah, man, definitely keep us posted. Definitely keep us posted with the, you know, with the drone footage. And I mean, you can come on the show anytime. You know, that ain't no big deal. I appreciate you
right
coming on.
And everybody out there, go to my YouTube page. You can just look up my name, Bill Brock, and check out my YouTube page. Please subscribe. You'll see a new video on there where AJ and I talk about drones and kind of what they're doing in Bigfooting. And coming up next week, I'm going to start putting out videos once a week about us going out and really using that drone and teaching people how to use it in the right way and show people how we're utilizing new equipment in the field. So it's going to be really cool.
And yeah, man, like we talked, you know, off air and prior to the show, you know, we got to get together. Yeah, there's no doubt about it, you know.
Yeah,
we gotta
for
get
sure.
Either there or here and make some stuff happen. But
yeah,
all right, man,
to.
I'll let you go. And
all right,
hit me up. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, we'll go ahead and wrap the show. Big thanks to my buddy Bill Brock for coming on, being with us. Next week we're going to have Derek Randles on. Derek is with the Olympic Project. That should be interesting. There's so much that he can tell us and so much that I want to try to learn from him with what they're doing out there. Thanks to Lana Cochran. She is my partner, my teammate, my pain in the butt. Thanks to her for calling in and, you know, showing you guys that she is actually real and legit and takes what she does pretty seriously. So, anyway, I'll cut this off, and you guys have a good, safe weekend, and I'll be back next Thursday night. Take care.